What determines what your occupation is? Well, I guess in one sense, your occupation is what occupies your time. Another question, has anyone ever asked you what the occupation of your mind is? And I guess what I'm getting at is what occupies your mind? What occupies your mind? What occupies your mind will determine the direction of your life. You know, the Bible has things to say concerning what occupies your mind. And tonight we're going to look at some of the things that shouldn't occupy your mind, the wrong occupations that your mind can have. And in the future, I'd like to look at the positive things, the things that ought to occupy our mind. You know, in the Word of God, there's principle of putting on and of putting off and putting on. You know, if you're going to put on a new pair of clothes, maybe you work on a farm and you had to go and work in the barn. Maybe you had to, you know, pitch the pig pens. Well, your clothes are dirty, they're filthy. And maybe you have an appointment, an engagement that you need to run off to. And maybe you're running a little bit late. You know, are you going to just grab your suit of clothes and put it on over your old garments? Well, obviously not. All right, you put off the old garments so you can put on the new. And it's a biblical principle. It talks about, you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, talks about putting off. Now you don't, in Ephesians 4:22 that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Verse 24 says, and that you put on the new man. So first of all, we're going to look at the things that need to be put out of our mind. What our mind should not be occupied with. And there's different things that can occupy our minds. If you could take your Bibles, please turn to Ezekiel chapter 20. And the first we're going to look at a mind occupied by self-ambition. A mind occupied by self-ambition. This is a mind focused on my goals and aspirations in life without regarding what God would want. It says in Ezekiel 20, verse 32, and that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all. That ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries to serve wood and stone. You know, we can make our own plans in life. We can decide maybe what we think is going to happen, without regarding God's plan or without regarding what God has said will take place. You know, there's a lot of this in America. People plan out their life. People plan what they think is going to happen without regard to the Word of God. You know, then maybe they wonder why their families are a mess. Maybe they wonder why the schools are a mess. They wonder why, you know, crime is going up. But they make their own plans without regard really to the laws of God or without regard to what God said was going to take place. And it says here in verse 32, and that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries to serve wood and stone. Notice what it says in verse number 38. He says, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. You know, those that are going to what? Go their own way. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know, life of self-ambition is a life of regrets. Notice verse 43. It says, and there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. A mind occupied by self-ambition. I think of Balaam, who loved, the Bible says he loved the wages of unrighteousness. You know, he had his mind set on going with Balak. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. You know, and here's his donkey. It came to the point, obviously, you know, sometimes we get so set on our own ways that we can't see. We can't see the danger in front of us. And that's what happens to us spiritually, and that's, in a sense, what was happened to Balaam, you know, physically and spiritually. He was so set on his way, and here's the angel of God standing in front of him. He's mad at his donkey, his self-ambition. Could have almost killed Balaam. Jonah, self-ambition. He was going to go his own direction in life. He was going to go his own way. God told him to go one way. He wanted to go somewhere else. And he paid a big price. Now, I don't think Jonah ever wanted to be swallowed by a whale again after what took place. Achan, he had self-ambition. Achan had self-ambition. What happened to him? Lost his family. He saw the Babylonian garment. He saw the riches there. He wanted them for what? For himself. But he didn't what? He didn't see the destruction that it was going to bring. Do you think Achan would make a different choice? Definitely he would make a different choice. But the problem is that when our mind is occupied by what we want in life, we can't see clearly. We can't see the decisions that we ought to make. So a mind occupied by self-ambition is a very dangerous place to be in life. You know, what is guiding your life? What is occupying your mind? What do you think about? What's your mind's occupation? Is it self-ambition? Your plans, your wishes, your goals, your future? So a mind occupied by self-ambition. Secondly, we'll look at a mind occupied by pride. Let's go to Daniel chapter 5. A mind occupied by pride. Can pride fill a person's mind? Can pride, you know, determine maybe people's decisions in life? Well, Daniel chapter 5 gives a commentary, so to speak, on Nebuchadnezzar's life. And it was a life that Belshazzar should have learned from, but he didn't learn his lesson from Nebuchadnezzar. It says in verse number 20, here I believe Daniel is speaking to Belshazzar, and he says, talking about Nebuchadnezzar, it says, "But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him." You know, Nebuchadnezzar, his mind was occupied by pride. He thought, he looked at what he had, and instead of giving glory to God, he brought the glory upon himself. His mind was occupied by pride. You know, pride brings darkness to the mind. It brings deadness to your mind. It says here in verse 20, notice that it says, "And his mind hardened in pride." You know, when you're filled with pride, you're not going to be able to think correctly. His mind was hardened in pride. He was sent thinking that these things were a result of maybe his talents, his abilities, when God was using him to judge the nations. And the only reason Nebuchadnezzar had the power that he had was because of what God was doing through him. And every one of us must be reminded that anything good in our lives is not because of something that we are, but it is because of God's goodness and graciousness to us. A mind occupied by pride, it brought destruction to the life of Nebuchadnezzar. It brought destruction here to the life of Belshazzar. The kingdom was taken away. A great kingdom on the face of the earth was brought down because of pride. Don't you think that your life, you know, if a whole kingdom could be brought down because of pride, don't you think that your life could be brought down because of pride? What is occupying your mind? What types of thoughts do you have regarding yourself? Regarding maybe the accomplishments of your life? Go to Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1, and kind of declares some of the Chaldeans here. He says in verse number 6, "For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation." Then go skip down to verse number 11. It says, "Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God, not giving God the glory, but a false God the glory." Then note verse 12, "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of pure eyes and to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he?" Then skip ahead to Habakkuk 2 and verse number 4. He says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." You know, destruction was going to come to Babylon. Babylon was lifted up in pride, and God brought destruction. You know, if our soul becomes lifted up, if we begin to think prideful thoughts, the Bible says, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. It says, but the just shall what? Shall live by his faith. So a mind occupied by pride. You know, sometimes our life can display a false humility. Go over to Colossians chapter 2. You know, when Jesus Christ is not the head of our life, this false humility can take over in our lives, and really all it is pride. It says in verse number 18, Colossians 2:18, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen." Then notice that, "vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." So it talks about in a voluntary humility. But it says here that he's what? He's vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. You know, many times pride is a false judgment that we're making about ourselves, when it's really not a true judgment. Notice what it says there, "vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." And maybe this person even thinks that they're, you know, being humble. They're doing acts of humility. You know, the person that says, you know, talks about maybe how proud they are of their humility. And here, you know, this person is, it's vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. But what's the real problem? Verse 19. "And not holding the head," Jesus Christ, "from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." You know, it says in Colossians 1, verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You know, what's one of the sure ways that we can guard from pride being in our lives? Well, that's making Jesus Christ the preeminent one in our lives. How can we guard from pride coming into our church? Well, it's from making Jesus Christ, you make Jesus Christ the preeminent one in your church, and guess what? You're not going to have problems with pride. But as soon as Jesus Christ is taken down from that lofty position, guess what you're going to have? Pride problems. Because that means people now are in that position that only rightfully belongs to Jesus Christ. You know, tonight, what's occupying your mind? Is there pride there? If you begin to feel like, well, I shouldn't be treated like that, or I'm more important than that. Well, who's controlling your life tonight? Who's controlling the direction of your life? Does Jesus Christ have that preeminent place in your life? If he doesn't, you have to watch out, because that's when a false humility can move in, and that's when pride can very easily take over in our lives. Thirdly, so we see, first of all, there's a mind occupied by self-ambition. Secondly, we see a mind occupied by pride. And I guess there's one more thing I want to make note of, and that's Peter. You know, Peter said, Lord, I am not going to deny you. And it wasn't very long after that that he denied the Lord. You know, what was Peter doing? Obviously, he had self-confidence. You know, but instead of really, what was he giving into? He was giving into the opinions of men. You know, what are these people going to think of me? Instead of the opinions, what does Jesus Christ think of me? And when he remembered the word of Christ, the Bible talks about how he went out and he wept. Pride. Do we have that self-dependence in our life, that self-ambition? So first of all, a mind occupied by self-ambition. Secondly, a mind occupied by pride. Thirdly, a mind occupied by the flesh. And really, these things all kind of go together. But Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. Romans 8, verse 5. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, a mind that is occupied by the flesh, fleshly impulses rather than by the Spirit. You know, the Bible says we are to be filled with the Spirit. We are to be under the control and influence of the Spirit of God in our lives. And the Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God. A fleshly mind is opposed to God. A fleshly mind has its own plans, has its own ambitions, controlled by the human nature. If you go over to Romans chapter 1, notice this fleshly mind, Romans chapter 1. It says in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. It says in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You know, this fleshly mind does not want God in its thoughts. You know, the Bible, in Psalms, it talks about, you know, about the wicked man and how he does not want to, how he does not retain God in his thoughts. I can't remember exactly how it's stated. But the evil man, the wicked man, he doesn't want to think about God. Why? Because that would mean he would have to change the course of his actions. You know, talking to somebody and they didn't want to have to believe in God, because if they believed in God, then they would, then they realized that they were on their way to hell. And they didn't like that thought. And they didn't understand the hope that was in Christ. But a fleshly mind, a mind occupied by the flesh, is one that is focused on personal desires, on fleshly desires, on fleshly impulses, rather than their lives being under the authority of God. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 3, Ephesians 2, 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the what? And of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is the description of an unsaved life. And an unsaved life follows the what? The inclinations, the desires of the flesh. The desires of the moment. Rather than putting themselves under the authority of God. You know, and if you're a believer tonight, the flesh ought not to occupy our thinking. The Spirit of God ought to control the way we think. Our minds ought to be under the control of the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." So it talks about the vanity of their mind. It talks about their understanding darkened. You know, of the vanity of their mind. It's an empty life. Their understanding is darkened. It's a life that doesn't make sense. Their thinking is not clear. Their understanding has been darkened. You know, you can't make decisions well if the lighting is dim. You know, if you go into a restaurant and there's not much lighting there, and you can't really see well what's put in front of you, you know, you might eat something that you maybe would prefer, you know, not to eat. You know, if it's a real fancy place, maybe you'd have more confidence. But, you know, if you're in a place that wasn't that fancy and you already had suspicions to begin with, and then you come in there and the lighting's not very well, it's real dim, it's real dark, you know, you might have some queasy feelings about eating what's put in front of you. It's dark. And here it says their understanding is darkened. It says they're being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. You know, you look at the problems of our world, and sometimes it's just like, you know, this does not make any sense. You know, what people are doing just doesn't make sense. But you know, sometimes when we buy into that worldly, when we buy into that fleshly thinking, our lives don't make sense as well. You know, if your mind is occupied by your flesh, if you're living to fulfill the desires of the flesh, your understanding is going to be darkened. And your decisions in life are not going to make sense. Fourthly, we have a mind occupied by defilement. Kind of goes along with this one. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 15. Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. So here we have a defiled mind. Well, what is, obviously, salvation, but what's a, you know, what's one of the remedies really to a defiled mind? Well, it's purity. It says, unto the pure, all things are pure. You know, if you don't want your mind to be defiled, then you have to protect it. You have to put things in place to keep that defilement from taking place. A mind occupied by defilement. Number five, Philippians chapter 3. We find here a mind occupied by earthly things. These are talking about enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You know, Paul's focus in his life was on the eternal. His conversation, his citizenship, says in the next verse, was in heaven. But these people, they minded earthly things. So we have a mind that is occupied by earthly things. Number six, we have a mind occupied by worry. This is something that should not occupy our minds. Luke chapter 12, verse number 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than raiment, and the body, the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? So we find here a mind that's occupied by worry. Christ says, don't allow this to take place. All right, don't allow worry to fill your mind. He says in verse number 29, and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. You know, what's been one of the biggest issues in elections the last couple times? The economy, right? Everyone's worried. You know, all sorts of people are worried about the economy. You know, unfortunately, it'd be nice if, you know, sometimes the moral, thankfully they've gotten some attention, but it'd be nice if people recognize the real root of the problems that we have. You know, this is what unsaved people are worried about. But it says here, your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Don't allow worry to take over in your minds. Philippians chapter 4 talks about be anxious for nothing, or be careful for nothing, or the idea of being anxious. But by in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, some believers there were getting worried. And, you know, they were believing some wrong information. He says, Paul said, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. A mind that is occupied by worry. Is that happening in your life? You know, it will lead to wrong decisions. And we have one more wrong thing that can occupy our minds, but I think I'm going to say this. So there are six things here. A mind occupied by self-ambition. A mind occupied by pride. A mind occupied by the flesh. A mind occupied by defilement. Now, there are things that have been defiling your mind. A mind occupied by earthly things. A mind occupied by worry, because we aren't entrusting the well-being of our lives to the hands of God. You know, this evening, what is occupying your mind? You know, if one of these things is occupying your mind, well, you need to get it out so that the right things can begin to take over in your mind. Otherwise, your life is headed down a road of destruction. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would use your word in our hearts tonight. And Lord, help us to be aware, even as we leave here tonight, of those things that are occupying our minds. And Lord, I pray that we would be conscious of them, that we would take note of them. And Lord, that we would cast down every imagination and high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ. And Lord, that we would bring, Lord, all wrong thoughts into captivity, Lord, to the obedience of Christ. Lord, may you help our minds to be focused on the right things. But Lord, may we first recognize those wrong things that are occupying, Lord, this occupying our minds. Lord, that displease you, and you'd give us the power and the ability to remove them. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, you know, is there something that's been occupying your mind? You know, that self-ambition, you've been so focused on maybe what you want in life that you've missed what God really wants in your life. You know, there's people in the Bible that made that mistake. You know, has there been pride? Has there been fleshly thinking? Has there been worry? Has there been defilement? Has your mind been defiled by the things that you've been feeding it? Or have you been occupied by earthly things? Maybe right now in the quietness of this moment or this time that you can get that right with the Lord. So you can get the wrong things out so the right things, the Word of God, can be put in its place. Lord, may you just work in our hearts and deliver us, Lord, from these things that would lead us down the wrong pathway in life. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.